Hey, this is Mark Butler, and you are listening to a podcast for coaches. This week's episode is a conversation with a friend. Her name is Chantel Allen. She has been a coach since 2018 or 2019. Chantel started out as an acquaintance, then she became a client, and now she's definitely a family friend. Kate and I have gotten to know her and appreciate her, and so I'm very happy to bring Chantel to you. I wanted to bring her on the podcast because I've watched her go through multiple evolutions in her practice. And in spite of the fact that she is a very type A, high achieving striver, she calls herself, she's been very open to new ways of being throughout the 5 or 6 years that she's been in practice. And I can see how it benefits her and how it has benefited her clients. And so for that reason, I wanted to share Chantel and her work with you. So let's get into this conversation. I think we met in 2018 or 19?
18, yeah.
18?
18. Last time Life Coach School was live in person.
Did we meet there?
Yeah. We went to Life Coach Training. You were an instructor there. Kate was going through at the same time. Right. I think it was later in 2019 that we did a lunch with you. And we just like picked your brain like crazy. And you were so open and willing for us just to kind of dive into the mind of Mark. And then we kind of, that's when we started to do the free calls. But then also, I think we did that mastermind right after that with you too.
Oh, that, yep, that's right.
So yeah, so, there's a lot.
So Chantel has been my client. We've done some coaching together. You're an interesting character for me in my coaching universe because you exemplify and you model a way of being that I think is amazing. There are coaches who find their way into their coaching community. They adopt the way of being that's taught and supported by that coaching community. That's what they bring. They build their business around it. They work with their clients in the way that community prescribes. And that's it. They just kind of hang out there long term.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad way of being.
No.
But it's not your way of being.
Well, and if I'm being honest, I did start there. Like, I think everybody kind of walking out of the environment that we kind of walked out of, I think a natural tendency is to follow what you're prescribed to do and try it. But I think I found out very quickly it didn't work for me. And so I think it was, I mean, I'm going to give you credit here. You helped me step outside of that box because it was a very scary place to be to say, I'm not going to do it the same formula. I'm going to allow myself to try something different and just see what happens. I'm still learning. I still haven't figured it all out, but I think it's an easier place to be rather than going based off of what everybody else tells us is the way to do it.
I want to have people hear some of the specific steps along that journey. One of the reasons you're so compelling to me is that I consider you high achieving. I would probably call you type A, like straight A student.
Yes.
Rule following.
Yes.
And that's who you came into coaching as.
Yes.
I'm not criticizing that. Nope. That's strength.
Yeah, totally.
That's why it's so interesting to me that bringing that DNA and that personality into your coaching life, you did give yourself permission to break the rules of one community and continue to be on your own exploration and find your own way of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about that evolution in however much detail you want.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've had to learn is I had to go first. I thought everybody else had the answers for me. And so I had to realize I was the best client for myself. So I started doing things in the thought work land. That's kind of what we walked out of Life Coach School. And I started to notice for myself, I would apply and do some of these tools and it wasn't working for me. So I'm like, why would I approach this with my clients if I'm trying to do this work and I'm not getting traction, I'm not getting results like we claim, right, as coaches. And so by my own integrity, by my own authenticity, I just knew something was missing. And for a while, it was a very scary place to be because, again, you're like stepping outside the box. You're kind of going against what all the other, and I say that lightly, not all coaches are the same, but going against the model that we were taught. But I realized like once I started to allow myself to have that voice and to kind of coach in that way, I attracted so many other people. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful you're finally saying it this way because I've noticed I've hit a peak with thought work or it doesn't work like they all claim it should, or I'm just stagnant or whatever it is. And I think that's just it, is I've been willing to go first every single time. It's not that I let somebody else's model tell me that's where I needed to go. It's I'm going to see what's working for me. And then I bring that into my coaching. And so it's changing all the time. Like I look at where I was last year, even to today, we were talking a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, I've had this falling apart again in the last couple of months. But I think it's, again, been leading my coaching to going to some place that I think is going to be awesome to kind of play around with. But yeah, it's just I go first every single time. So that's been my journey. And it's scary because I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it perfect. And I think sometimes that's something that stops us.
Speaking of that fear, I'm curious if you have a memory of when. So you'd been taught a certain way of being, you'd been taught a certain approach. You started to feel like it wasn't delivering what you thought it was supposed to deliver.
Right.
I'm curious about that season.
Yeah.
What did that season look like for you where you're kind of coming out of this like, oh, those tools, I see value in those tools, but they're not doing quite what they're supposed to. What does that next season look like for you?
So it was the good old 2020 era, I think, is when I started to notice it. So I love what you said, that I'm a high achiever. Yeah, I will tell everybody I'm a high achiever, type A. But most people that know that if you're that way, you also struggle with being in tune with your emotions, right? There's like this, you're kind of numb, you're kind of cut off, which again is a strength because you can just get going on things. But in 2020, here we were all at home. And all of a sudden, and I think everybody can relate to this, anxiety became at an all-time high for so many people. And so you could tell them, think this positive thought or think this way or whatever. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working the way that we all thought it should. And I was in the same place. I was experiencing a ton of anxiety. A burnout was like right on the cusp in my business because with the pandemic, I had a flux of new clients that came into me. So business was great, but it was coming at a cost to my health. And I was like, okay, there's got to be something that breaks here and I don't need it to be me again. And so I started to play around with that and I started realizing I'm telling myself I'm feeling my emotions, but I really am not. So I went and got training in emotion work because I'm like, I think this is the missing piece for me. I think this is what I need to learn a little bit more. And coming from being a striver, it was some of the scariest. I still feel it's a little woo. A little bit. I say that to a lot of people. I'm like, it's a little woo to me to kind of go there. But I saw the benefits and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. If I'm seeing the benefits of understanding my emotions more, then there's something here. There's something here that I know can really, really benefit other people that are just like me. So in the 2020 realm, that's where I started to move. I was coaching in another person's coaching group at the time. And I just started putting it into my coaching that people would hear. And the feedback that I got almost immediately was like, this is a breath of fresh air. This is something that I have needed. This makes so much more sense to me. And so that's what kind of was the catapult. Because again, it was me. I had to be the person that saw it first. I was realizing I've hit a roadblock in coaching, in my health, in my relationships. And just applying this new tool is what took everything to the next level.
Then my question is, you're having these epiphanies, and I like how you said you're your own best client, but you have clients too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you are using tools, teaching tools on a podcast or in your content and in your community with your clients. And then you're finding that those tools are lacking for you.
Yep.
And then you're going to find new tools and you're adopting those tools and experimenting with them. But you're doing all of this while there are appointments on the calendar.
Yes.
How are you navigating that?
The biggest thing I've had to be open with is I tell people like I'm still figuring this out. Like even when I get on a call with somebody, I had a consult just the other week where someone was like, how do I know that this stuff even works? And I'm like, you don't. You just have to, again, there's not a holy grail. So I'm constantly telling my clients, like, I'm trying new things and I will constantly bring what I am learning into our coaching. But again, if it's not a holy grail, if it's not a one size fits all, I just look at it as my coaching changes. We're just giving them different tools in their tool belt. So someone that was my client when I was in the thought work realm, it doesn't mean I did it all wrong or they didn't get anything out of it. It's like, you know what? That was awesome. Now we can try this and we're going to try and apply this. And it's been so good in that way because not that you want people to keep coming back, but they come back because they know there's other ways that we can look into this.
The way you're saying that makes me think that you weren't making yourself wrong for having done it a different way and then doing something new.
No.
Was it never a struggle? Did you never have issues with that?
I did at the very beginning. So when I was especially coaching in another coach's group, because uh-huh. she hired me to be this way. Like I thought for sure she was hiring me for my style that I was before. So I had a lot of cognitive dissonance of just like, yeah. you know, I should be like this, but I'm really compelled. I was sure I was going to get fired years ago because I was doing something different. So I definitely had the internal battle with that. Cause I'm like, I mean, you and I've had many conversations about that of what do I do? Cause I got a lot of my clients from being in that coach's group for a while. So I was so worried that, yeah, I'm getting all of these clients from this and then she's going to let me go because I'm so different than everybody else. What am I going to do? But I also am like, this just feels right to me. I think that's where coaching becomes hard or business becomes hard is when we're doing things that we should versus what we feel compelled and want to do. So I've noticed, it still is a struggle. Like I still see other people. I put out a podcast on mine last week that pushed up against the coaching industry. And I was so nervous about the feedback and the pushback. But at the same time, I'm like, that's what calls to me. So I listen to that part that's like, something's going to happen to you if you say this or you coach in this way. But I also know there's a lot of people that resonate with what I have to say. And I'm not for everybody. Like, that's my thing is I'm not for everybody. I'm not trying to get everybody. I'm just trying to find the people that align with what and how I do coaching.
When you talk about burnout and the possibility of burnout, the expensive part there is the self-deception.
Yes.
It's so internally costly to feel that one thing is true, but to be acting as though something else is true yeah. or is better.
Yep.
It's so expensive mentally and emotionally. And that, I think, is what produces burnout.
At the very beginning, I think that struggle that I had is this narrative of you just need to believe harder, right? If you're not getting the results, is you just need to believe harder. And that, I had so much pushback on that of like, okay, that is that true? Like, I just need to believe harder so I can get different results. And it just didn't feel right. So yeah, I think everybody, it's normal for us to have that fight within ourselves of like, is that true? Or is what I'm thinking is true? But I don't know. I think that's just part of the journey. I think all of the time.
One of the important things to me is that when you came up against that and you said, I'm not finding enough evidence for that way of being.
Yeah.
That's a fork in the road. And tragically, too many people at that fork in the road, they choose a path that's called, I must be wrong and bad and terrible.
Yeah.
And I think it's really harmful, hurtful, painful, because what they're saying is, oh, if the message is just believe harder, and I think I'm believing harder, but the result isn't changing, that must mean that I'm bad or wrong.
Something's wrong with me. Yeah.
But the other path at that fork in the road is, I'm not bad or wrong, so I'm going to find something else that's more effective. Mm-hmm. For me.
Yeah. If you go down the side that allows you to step into yourself, it's actually easier. It's when you lean into what you believe is truth or what everybody else is telling you to do, that actually is harder. You're swimming upstream. You know, you're trying to prove yourself in the coaching world versus letting yourself kind of go down the other side of the fork and just saying like, my side is working. I just got to fine tune it. I got to figure out the oars or the whatever, but it does work. I just got to figure that part out. So,
yeah.
And that's scary because it's not like everybody else.
So you're making this transition from one way of being to another, and you're doing it all while having clients and you're feeling the fear. How often did it come into your mind to just bail on the whole thing and just be like, I'm out?
If I'm being very honest, I have that every couple of months.
Okay.
It still happens. Yeah. It still totally happens. That's why I was saying when we talked a couple of weeks ago, I was like, yeah, just came from a falling apart. And it's a decision I have to constantly make in my business of like, okay, I'm doing this again. But I think it still is a struggle. But what I've come to realize is when that time happens, it's not a bad thing. Like I used to have so much shame around it of like, well, maybe I'm doubting my business or I want to quit. And that's a sign that I need to listen to it or I need to. And I'm taking it as now just like, no, maybe I need to slow down. Maybe I need to look at some of the systems that I'm trying and decide again if I really want to do them. But it's not a quitting thing anymore. It's just more like, I just need a breath or I just need to realign in a different way or something like that.
Are you describing the falling apart experience? Is that what that looks like?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I literally, so I was, again, Striver, right? In my podcast, I've been doing it for 5 years, and I'm that perfectionist, right? So the coaches told us for so long, oh, you need to do it consistently every single month, every single week at a certain time, have your people know that it's coming out. Last year, when I had some issues happen in my coaching business, I literally let that go. I let that fall apart. And it was the scariest thing, but it was such a breath of fresh air at the same time. I gave myself permission to stop doing some of the things that I was told I needed to do and then re-decide, recommit to it. So I'm still doing it again, but so different. I may not put it out every week. And that's so different than where I was like 3 years ago, where it's like, I have to do it every single week. It's now that falling apart gave me permission to, again, show up when I wanted to show up and not have to be perfect and consistent all of the time. And I think it's even better now, because now when I show up, it's on purpose because I want to versus, oh, I should or I have to.
That sounds like a transition from a fear motivation to a love motivation.
Absolutely. And I do think, like, I noticed even the money issue. Money has been such an issue for me for since starting, because it's a business. We all want to make money from it. But before, there was this narrative of like, you got to keep going and double your income and double your income and double whatever in this, you know, you're supposed to whatever every single time. That fear, again, in comparison, led me to like, I'm doing it all wrong. I'm not doing it right or whatever. As soon as I let that go and I just show up, right, that's when everything just started to work, which goes totally against what my brain and this driver wants me to believe. It's just like, it tells me I have to keep going. But no, as soon as you let things fall apart, it becomes easy.
That's pretty good. Oh, that's pretty good. Talk to me about the changes in your approach. I know you started with what you're calling this very thought work, very cognitive approach with yourself and with your clients. Then you talked about pursuing an emotions training.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going with that conversation. How are you different in your approach to coaching than you were 5 years ago?
So yes, I did thought training. I still use it. I think, again, it's got some benefits to be able to question our thoughts and to be able to recognize our stories, but I don't go heavy laden into it. It's not that we have to look at every single thing, because I also find kind of what we were saying is I went to emotion training. So now I bring in emotion work to it and helping people to awaken to their emotions, know what their emotions are. But even now, so that's some of the falling apart that happened. I am noticing, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this too, Mark, but I have noticed in the coaching world that I would say self-development. I don't want to just say this is just coaching, but self-development, we swung from being we had to actually teach people to be selfish at the very beginning. I would say 5 years ago, of like, hey, it's okay for you to be selfish. Cause that was me. That was totally me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay for you to be selfish, to work on yourself, to invest in yourself. But now I've seen it swing to the other side, where now we're like over the top and people are becoming too, and I say this lightly, too selfish. And we see our kids kind of growing up this way, only talking about their problems, only focusing on their emotions, having to heal every single little thing. And so not that I even know the balance yet, but even in my coaching, I'm trying to find where I don't swing one side or the other of like, yes, we have to solve every problem. We have to feel every emotion. It's, can we figure that out? Turn on the lights. But then my thing is like, get up and go live your life, go be with people, think about other people, instead of it being that I have to be on an island by myself and figure this out before I can go live my life. So I don't even have it all figured out. And I've told that to so many of the people that I'm starting to work with. I'm like, I don't know yet what this is. I even have a coaching group that I've told them, like, we're going to try some different calls and you guys are going to tell me like, this resonates, this doesn't. So I don't even know what that looks like exactly yet. I'm constantly listening to that. I'm kind of watching what I'm seeing in my clients. I'm watching what's seeing in my own family and saying like, okay, I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to make sure that what I do really does help. I don't ever want to regret the way that I approach things and say like, because of what I did, this may have caused more problems than good.
Self-obsession is not positive. It's really about our character development. Who am I becoming? What is the nature of my character? Am I becoming a better and better person? Which, isn't it crazy that to invite people to become better people would sound so weird in a coaching or a therapeutic environment?
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
You just don't hear it.
No.
And I think one of the reasons you don't hear it is that people are more afraid than ever of claiming a dogma or claiming a specific philosophy and saying, I'm organizing my life around living this philosophy and growing within this philosophy, like a faith. So for me, what you said is beautiful. It's like, I'm going to use thought work because thought work helps me become a dispassionate observer of what's flowing yes. through my head and how it's impacting my emotional state and how it's impacting my behaviors and choices. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly powerful. I will always be so grateful to the Life Coach School and to Brooke Castillo for helping me shine a light on that in a way that I certainly never had before.
Yeah.
And I also think it's not the complete picture.
Right.
Then we get into emotions because our experience of life is emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so learning to feel those emotions and understand them and figure out what information they have for us, incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
But then we take both of those things. We take thought work and we take emotional work. And where we really want to apply those things is in character development.
Yes.
How do I use thought work and emotions work to become a better person, to become happier in my relationships, healthier in my relationships, to be of higher service to my small community and to the world at large?
Mm-hmm.
All the work has to be in service of becoming something that we aren't yet, even though we're good and we're worthy and et cetera. This isn't about going from unworthy to worthy. It's about going from
right.
less developed to more developed.
Right. Well, and I think back to at the very beginning with coaching, I used to say that phrase of like, we got to help you be selfish so you can be selfless. I would say that all of the time.
Yes.
But that's kind of gotten lost in all of this of like, yes, be selfish. Like, I love coaching because it helps us, like you said, know the power of our thoughts, know the power of our emotions. But we've kind of forgotten that selfless. And I'm calling myself out here too. I've kind of been so focused on myself sometimes that it has created this place where it's all about me, right? So we need to get back to the selfless place and being out there serving the world, bringing us to it so that we can help other people. Because so many people are lonely right now, that loneliness is an epidemic. And it's why? Because we're so focused on ourselves and our problems and our emotions. And we forget that we can notice those, but get up and go serve other people, go bring your light to other people.
Yeah. This is outside my lane of expertise. So this is just hearsay, but I have heard that when people have been diagnosed with real depression, one of the best prescriptions is service.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson, I think, said that.
Who?
Jordan Peterson.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he said that.
You hear that and you think, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But Kate and Charlie, my wife and son, they just got back from a trip to Mexico where they were part of a big group. And in 3 days, they built a house for a family from scratch. No house before, house after.
Wow. That's so cool.
And my 16-year-old son comes home. He went in bad attitude, of course. He's 16.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He came home glowing.
That's so cool.
He's like, Dad, I want to be back there tomorrow.
That's so cool.
Yeah, of course you do. You feel amazing. Yeah. You helped.
Yeah.
So I think our work, our thought work, whatever our particular modality is,
mm-hmm.
it will fall flat if it's ultimately in service of self-obsession.
Yes.
But it will flourish if it's in service of becoming a more developed person who has greater enjoyments, richer life experience, and is of higher service to humanity. I think that's the next evolution, because we have too many examples now of people who, you know, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but we know that one of the main or two of the main goals of certain coaching philosophies is, you know, skinny and rich.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now we have plenty of examples of skinny, rich, miserable people. So it's not that we're anti-fitness and it's right. not that we're anti-wealth.
Right.
That we know that when we pursue them for empty reasons,
right,
they are empty results.
Well, again, that kind of goes back to where I'm at with my coaching. Like I said, that consult that I had a couple of weeks ago where this person's like, well, what am I going to get from coaching with you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not selling a result. And I think that goes totally against the marketing of like, well, you have to have a result that you're selling. And of course, I talked to him about what would be different, but it's not this flashy bang bang of like, you're going to make, you know, $6,000 in the next 2 weeks working with me, or you're going to lose 20 pounds. And I had a lot of drama about that. I was like, I have to figure out what it is that I'm selling that compels people. And I think, again, not that I'm trying to sell myself here, but it's just like, I think the way that I approach my life now, that's the selling component of it. It's not that I have to go and sell people. It's just like, you see what I'm doing. You see that I'm out serving, and that compels people. And I think we forget that as coaches, is we think we have to sell the product. And it's like, you're selling you. You're the example, kind of what you're saying, the character, right? Be the example of the character. Be selfless. That's going to compel way more clients to you than any marketing scheme that you could ever come up with.
I really want to hear you talk about that evolution. We know how you changed in your approach to your self-development work and your work with your clients, but I know that you also had a big journey in terms of how you talk about your work, how you market your work, how you sell your work. What did it look like then? What does it look like now?
You are a big help with this. I give so much credit to you with this, because before, again, it was kind of coming out of the box, right? I was told to do Facebook ads. I was told to do the webinar funnels. I did all of those things. And again, I'm not knocking it. I think it's got a place for it. It did help me to kind of figure out my voice at that time of, you know, how I can phrase it in a certain way. But the more mechanical I found out that I was with my marketing, the less people that I got. The way that I actually found more of my clients was relationship-based. So doing live events, I had several live events here in my small town where I would have 50, 60 people show up. And that's where I got a majority of my clients to start.
I didn't know that. 50 yeah. or 60?
Yeah. And I did lunch and learns, like where you would have just ladies come over and we'd do a potluck and we would just do coaching. No strings attached whatsoever. So I realized like my voice and people actually experiencing things or just a relationship in general is way more compelling than an ad that they're going to see. Or because I think about what resonates for me, again, kind of being my own client here, is like I get so many emails. And again, if emails work for you, fantastic. But so many people put pressure. I know.
I'll say it. I'll say it if other people won't. They don't work.
They don't work.
The emails that you're talking about that we both know.
Yes.
Like act now and.
Yes. Yeah. They don't work. Well, and not only that, I don't look at people's emails. Like, why do I expect my people to open emails if I'm not opening up emails?
Those emails train us to ignore them.
Oh, that's a good point.
They train us. I know what's in that message before I open it. And it's you asking me for something.
So true.
You've trained me to ignore you.
So
true. Whereas we can send emails where, conscious or unconscious, they know, I know that you've got something in there for me.
Yep.
And that's the one we open.
Yep. Exactly. And I for a long time I did that, you know, all the emails and everything, but I came back to like what works for me. And so now I'm back to, for one, I don't market at all. I don't have anything that I put out there. I just have my simple podcast. I have Instagram that I'm trying and playing around with, but it's not to get something anymore. It's more of like, I'm just putting things out there that is on my mind that I'm like, you know what? I think this would really benefit somebody. And it's been interesting, the more fun I've been having with it. I've been doing reels. I hate reels, by the way. I remember I was talking about this when it first came out with like the pointing. We're like, yes. I will never do any of that stuff. But I've been having fun with just like other, I have like Harry Potter inside my reels, or I have Channing Tatum inside my, like I'm having fun fun of coaching and like it feels good to me. And it's, I've been getting so many more conversations about it. So I think it's just like finding what works for you and making that fun. I think that's the biggest thing. If it's not fun, then don't try it. And if you have an agenda, I think that's the other thing, then it's not going to work too. If you're trying to get 6 clients in a month or whatever it is, I don't know. It doesn't work. So I think it's just showing up and serving. And that's where I'm at. Just relationships. I do, if I have any kind of agenda, I do try and have several conversations with people a month. That's kind of my goal, is like, hey, I just want to reach out to this past client that I haven't talked to in a year. And just, hey, I just want to touch base. And it's interesting how those can lead to people wanting to sign up again, because I've changed. They've changed. They're in a new place. It's just been great just having no agenda conversations with people. That's been way more of a selling point than anything I can do online.
That's so good.
But that's from you, Mark. I will tell you that you're the person that helps me figure that out. Because for me,
I wasn't saying it's so good because.
but it's like that feels out of control. Like the control person in me is like, just have relationships. Like there's nothing that I can like grab onto and say, this is the thing that works. Whereas everybody else is saying like, do these Facebook ads and you're supposed to get this result. So it felt scary to lean into something that there is not as much control into it. but for some reason it works.
Well, when we talked a couple of weeks ago, you said a higher percentage of your new clients recently have come directly from referrals.
Yeah. Every one of them, actually.
Really?
Yep. Every single one of them.
Referrals from, I mean, I gave you a referral recently.
Yep. Other clients. That's amazing. Or they were in the coaching group that I was in, that I coached in before. And they're like, I heard from another friend that was in the coaching group that you're coaching on this, you know, so it's just been like word of mouth. And again, I have no control over that, which is sometimes very scary, but it's, I like it way easier than having to come up with the funnels, just all of the tech and everything. I'm kind of done trying to figure that all out.
No control, but a ton of influence. And that's the difference.
And it's fun. Like that's, I think we say that as coaches, oh, we're just doing this to have fun. But I don't think we actually really believe that.
And it's
like, no, we don't. Again, going back to your character of like, you got to go first. If you really want people to be compelled to you, show people that you're having fun in your life and in your business. Because I wouldn't want to work with somebody that's like all business and strict and looks like they're burning the lamp at both sides or whatever. It's not compelling to me.
It's great stuff. This is why I wanted you on the show.
That's why I love that you're doing this series, because conversations are what sell. It's not that I'm saying people are going to come to me from this, but it's just, this is what's compelling. Real conversations, no agenda, no like outline of trying to sell a value system or anything like that. It's real people having conversations.
We don't know that from you appearing on this particular podcast in this particular episode, we don't know that there's going to be a straight line from that to a client.
Right.
But we do know that this type of activity will produce clients. That's the thing you can count on.
Yes.
If I continue to act this way and be this way, I will end up happy with the result.
Yes.
Whether or not any individual thing produces a specific result in a specific time frame.
Well, I think you did this on a couple of weeks ago on your podcast with the launch, right? If you're going into a launch looking for a particular outcome or whatever, you're going to be disappointed every single time. So if I went into this conversation being like, oh, I'm going to get so many clients out of this or whatever, I would be so much more weird on our conversation and it's just everything. And so it's letting go of that outcome and just showing up as myself, take it or leave it, basically, and trusting it.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. This has been fun. I want more of these.
Well, thank you, my friend.
Yeah, this has been fun.
You've got a call to get to.
I do.